At Insight for Living, we have access to more than 40 years of Chuck Swindoll's recorded sermons. And sometimes what you hear on this program reaches back to our earliest days as a media ministry. Today, however, and for the next few weeks, we have the privilege of hearing an 8-part series that was presented just a short time ago. In the midst of the global pandemic and the civil unrest that has followed, Chuck found Jeremiah's journal, the Book of Lamentations, profoundly relevant. Chuck begins by providing helpful context to set the stage for this fascinating story.
Paul wrote to the Romans the value of Scripture when he said in 15:4, "Whatever is written in earlier times was written for our learning, that we, through patience and comfort from the Scriptures, might have hope." When Paul wrote that, there were no New Testament documents extant in use. He had reference to the Old Testament, and to the surprise of some believers, there is rich treasure found in the nuggets of the Old Testament. We hope to dig through some of them when we get into the Book of Lamentations, for which I'm preparing you these days. Let's call it coming in through the back door as we prepare ourselves for that study of Lamentations. I want to take you into two parts of the Old Testament rarely read or examined by believers today. One is 2 Kings, find chapter 22 of 2 Kings, and the other is a couple of books beyond, 2 Chronicles chapter 34. You can't get much more remote than 2 Kings 22 and 2 Chronicles 34. I want to read from both of those a few excerpts to prepare us for the study today that has to do with the influence of one devoted parent. First, I want to read from 2 Kings 22, just the first two verses. 2 Kings 22, verse 1, from the New Living Bible. Josiah was 8 years old when he became king. He reigned in Jerusalem for 31 years. His mother was Jedidah, the daughter of Adaiah of Bozkath. He did what was pleasing in the Lord's sight and followed the example of his ancestor David. He did not turn away from doing what was right. And now 2 Chronicles 34, again beginning at verse 1, referring to the same individual in what we might call a parallel historical passage. Josiah was 8 years old when he became king, and he reigned in Jerusalem 31 years. He did what was pleasing in the Lord's sight and followed the example of his ancestor David. He did not turn away from doing what was right. During the 8th year of his reign, while he was still young, Josiah began to seek the God of his ancestor David. Then in the 12th year, he began to purify Judah and Jerusalem, destroying all the pagan shrines, the Asherah poles, and the carved idols and cast images. He ordered that the altars of Baal be demolished and that the incense altars which stood above them be broken down. He also made sure that the Asherah poles, the carved idols, and the cast images were smashed and scattered over the graves of those who had sacrificed to them. Verse 8, in the 18th year of his reign, after he had purified the land and the temple, Josiah appointed Shaphan, son of Azaliah, Maaseiah, the governor of Jerusalem, and Joah, son of Joaz, the royal historian, to repair the temple of the Lord his God. They gave Hilkiah, the high priest, the money that had been collected by the Levites who served as gatekeepers at the temple of God. The gifts were brought by people from Manasseh, Ephraim, and from all the remnant of Israel, as well as from all Judah, Benjamin, and the people of Jerusalem. Believe it or not, I've had the time of my life in sections like that all this week. I've loved it. I know you find that hard to believe, but you'll understand why, hopefully, by the time I have completed this message today, on the influence of one devoted parent.
You're listening to Insight for Living. To search the scriptures with Chuck Swindoll, be sure to download his Searching the Scriptures studies by going to insightworld.org/studies. And now the message titled, The Influence of One Devoted Parent.
I never cease to be amazed at how relevant God's Word is. No matter what we may be experiencing in this life, regardless of how heavy it may seem or demanding it may feel, God's Word has something helpful and insightful and meaningful to say regarding the time in which we're living. Who would imagine there would be some important message in the ancient book of God regarding something as relevant as COVID-19? How in the world could we find anything in this book that would relate to the things we're reading about and even going through in some cases, especially when we talk about the most remote part of the Old Testament, the Chronicles and the Kings? Chances are good you have not been in these two books for quite some time. We'll get there in a moment, but I want to begin where we ended last time in Jeremiah chapter 1. We're preparing you for the study of Lamentations, which Jeremiah wrote toward the end of his ministry after Jerusalem had been sacked by the Babylonians and the people of Jerusalem marched off into exile. Jeremiah remained and walked through the remains of Jerusalem. And doing so, he recorded his observations in what we know today as the Book of Laments, or as we know it, Lamentations. When I go back to Jeremiah 1, just the first two verses, or first three verses, I come across something that I don't want us to miss because of the uniqueness of a life that is easily overlooked. I don't dare let that happen. So allow me a few moments and promise me you will concentrate. If you let your mind drift, you'll miss major and important parts of what I want to say today. But follow along. These are the words of Jeremiah, son of Hilkiah, one of the priests from the town of Anathoth, in the land of Benjamin. I want you to remember the name Hilkiah. He's a priest. He becomes a high priest in the passing of years that yet to come, but he's the father of Jeremiah. Now, please notice how the verse turns to another. The Lord first gave messages to Jeremiah during the 13th year of the reign of Josiah, son of Ammon, king of Judah. The Lord's messages continued throughout the reign of King Jehoiakim, Josiah's son, until the 11th year of the reign of King Zedekiah, another of Josiah's sons. In August of that 11th year, the people of Jerusalem were taken away as captives. If you like marking your Bibles, you could put right there in parenthesis, Lamentations. Because when they were led away as captives, that was the time Jeremiah was coming toward the end of his ministry and wrote the book we know today as Lamentations. But that's not my point. I want you to observe that the main character of this book, obviously, is the one who bears its name, Jeremiah. But for a few seconds in reading these verses, you come across another name mentioned even more than Jeremiah. You come across Josiah. Please observe in verse 2 again, the Lord first gave messages that would be prophetic warnings, words of exhortation, words of comfort and reassurance to the prophet Jeremiah during the 13th year, not Jeremiah's 13th year, but the 13th year of the reign of Josiah, son of Ammon, he adds, who was the king of Judah. And those messages continued on through Josiah's sons, who became king in his place after his death. So it follows along all the way to the time when the people of Jerusalem are taken captive. At first, this may seem like nothing more than tedious, insignificant details that would interest only a minister or an Old Testament student in a seminary or even a Hebrew student. But there's something here you will miss, but I'm not going to let you do that. This is more than just a number of names and a list of years of someone's reign. You might ask, who cares about such details? We need to care. Because emerging from this life that appears ever so subtly, the life of Josiah is a remarkable individual. He's a contemporary of Jeremiah. They're close to the same age. I've spent the week trying to figure out exactly the ages. It's almost impossible to do, but they were close. Jeremiah's daddy is Hilkiah the priest, so he's raised among priests in the quiet village of Anathoth, verse 1. Josiah's background is altogether different. He's raised in the home of a king. So his years are listed as reigns, when he would reign. He's now prince while his father is alive, but when his father dies, he, Josiah, becomes king in the place of his father, named here Ammon. Now, right now, you may know nothing of Ammon, but I'm going to acquaint you with him in the time we have, as well as Ammon's father. We need to track the shift in emphasis from Jeremiah to Josiah, since the writer, Jeremiah himself, no doubt, links the messages of God as coming during the reign of Josiah. So, to go back to that reign, turn to 2 Chronicles chapter 34. And you will immediately discover something very unusual. Even in those days, Josiah was 8 years old when he became king. Now, I pause and let each one of you who have had children and have known them, of course, when they were eight, to imagine what that must be like to have an eight-year-old now wearing the crown. How unusual. But he's next in line. Amon is dead, and Josiah, living at the time of his father's death, though only 8 years old, is crowned the king. Notice also in verse 1 that he reigned in Jerusalem only 31 years. I say only because a reign often lasted upwards of 40 and even 50 and more years, as we'll see. But he dies at the age of 39, having reigned for 31 years, beginning when he is only 8. Something else worth noting. Verse 2, he, that is Josiah, did what was pleasing in the Lord's sight. He followed the example of his ancestor, David, not Amon, his father, not Manasseh, his grandfather, but Josiah found help from the life of an ancient ancestor named David, and he became his model. Before we go to his eighth year, let's look here at this righteous reign of Josiah. 31 years, he walks with God, doesn't turn to the left or right, doesn't cool in his devotion to the living God. Surely it must come from his father. Actually, it didn't. In fact, his grandfather Manasseh, if you go back to chapter 33, I won't keep doing this to you, but I have to go there for a few moments. Manasseh is mentioned in chapter 33, and we read, this is the grandfather of Josiah. Manasseh was 12 years old when he became king. He reigned in Jerusalem 55 years. He did what was evil in the Lord's sight, following the detestable practices of the pagan nations the Lord had driven from the land of the Israelites. Listen to one historian's quick analysis of Manasseh, Josiah's grandfather. Quote, Manasseh was the worst king the Hebrews ever had. He was a thoroughly bad man presiding over a totally corrupt government. He reigned in Jerusalem for 55 years, a dark and evil half century. He continues. He encouraged pagan worship that involved whole communities in sexual orgies. He installed cult prostitutes at shrines throughout the countryside. He imported wizards and sorcerers who enslaved the people in superstitions and manipulated them with their magic. The man could not do enough evil. There seemed to be no end to his barbarous cruelties, his capacity for creating new forms of evil seemed bottomless. His appetite for the sordid was insatiable. One day he placed his own son on the altar in some black and terrible ritual of witchcraft and burned him as an offering. 55 years of such misrule brought the faith close to oblivion. I take your time to hear that because I want you to know the dreadful background of Josiah. That's the life of his grandfather, 55 years ruling over the land of Judah, the southern kingdom of the people of the Jews. Manasseh dies, and his son Amon takes his place. Please notice in chapter 33, verse 21, Amon was 22 years old when he became king. This is the son of Manasseh, whom you just heard about. Amon is 22 when he becomes king. He reigned in Jerusalem only 2 years. He did what was evil in the Lord's sight, just as his father Manasseh had done. He worshiped and sacrificed to all the idols his father had made. But unlike his father, he did not humble himself before the Lord. Verse 24, the end of verse 23, Amon sinned even more. He was worse than his father. So then Amon's own officials conspired against him and assassinated him in his palace. So while Amon is what we would call at home in the palace where Josiah is living, he is assassinated by a group of conspirators. But the people of the land killed all those who had conspired against the king, King Amon, and they made Josiah his son in his place. Do the math. 55 years of Manasseh's evil rule, followed by 2 years of an even worse rule from his son Amon. It was as if the people had said, "That's enough." So they assassinate him. I have to use a little imagination here, and please do so with me. Somewhere in that palace, Josiah is living as a little 8-year-old boy. He hears the stabbing, the screaming, the cursing, the killing of his father somewhere in the palace, echoing through the stone walls. And then he is in the chaos of murder in this field as those people kill the conspirators who killed his father. And out of a scene of assassination and murder emerges this beautiful blooming rose, as if coming from a cesspool of wickedness. His name is Josiah. Josiah has known only that among his immediate ancestors, a wicked father, a wicked grandfather. And yet we read verse 2 of chapter 34, he did what was pleasing in the Lord's sight and followed David as his example.
Well, there's much more of this dramatic story that needs to unfold. We urge you to keep listening when Chuck Swindoll continues his message called The Influence of One Devoted Parent. And this is Insight for Living. To learn more about Chuck Swindoll and this ministry, be sure to visit us online at insightworld.org. You might be interested to know that Chuck delivered this message just a few months ago. He wanted you to hear this message on Josiah and Jeremiah because it clearly demonstrates the timeless relevance of God's Word. The global pandemic and civil unrest have placed increased pressure on families all around the world, and this ancient book helps us understand God's hand is on those who follow Him. As we wrap up this week of studies, this is the very last time I'll mention two messages from Chuck that we're offering to you without cost or obligation. It's called Finding Healing Through Forgiveness. While not specifically addressing the pandemic, Chuck gets at the root cause and the solution for the chaos in our culture. In his first message, Chuck talks about clearing away the trash we regret. And in his second message, he describes the power of forgiveness. In addition, Chuck's wife Cynthia shares her gripping story about restoring broken relationships and her recovery from a long battle with depression. To download these two messages today, go to insight.org/findhealing. And if you have any questions or you'd like to speak to us today, call us. If you're listening in the United States, dial 1-800-772-8888. That's 1-800-772-8888. And then finally, as we enter the weekend, remember you're invited to join the online worship service at Stonebriar Community Church this Sunday morning. Thousands of viewers are taking advantage of this unique opportunity to engage in worship and to enjoy the sermon from Chuck Swindoll. For all the details, go to insight.org/Sundays. Join us again when Chuck Swindoll's study in the Book of Lamentations continues Monday on Insight for Living.
The preceding message, The Influence of One Devoted Parent, and the sound recording were copyrighted in 2020 by Charles R. Swindoll, Inc. All rights are reserved worldwide. Duplication of copyrighted material for commercial use is strictly prohibited.